Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy to be here with you. I want to thank all those folks that made it possible for me to be here. And there's the apartment to get and all the furniture to move in and all the wonderful energy and love that you brought to me. And I feel so well cared for. And I just want to thank so many of you for doing that. And you had to do it in the midst of saying goodbye to your beloved David as well. Like one coming and one going, and it was sort of like, you know, this. And that's sort of what transitions are like, right? Because when we let go, Reverend Sheila's talking about transitions right now, and there's an ending, there's a void, and then there's a beginning, right? And so they're not always clearly delineated. Like, well, now we're at the beginning. Well, no, we're still ending, right? We haven't quite ended. Wait, you know, don't try to begin too quickly before I need to end. So anyway, it's a beautiful time to gather together. It's a beautiful time to remember that. And I'm here to support this transitional time. And I believe we can fly. Yeah, that, you know, we really can let it be simple and easy. I do believe that. My youngest son was sort of a little more difficult to raise. I have two sons, 33 and 23. And the first one, just this perfect child, you know, but then he got to being a teenager and, who are you? Remember, you know, some of those? And then my second one was the opposite. He was a very difficult small child, just soared through teenage years into adulthood. So you never know what's going to happen. You just have to be ready and prepared, and you aren't as a parent. You just have to be present, right? Just take it as they come. But the second one would struggle just with the simplest things, like getting dressed in the morning. And so I ended up, you know, using these strategies that weren't always perfect as a parent, saying things like, we can either do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. How many of you use that one? Come on. Yeah, good. So it's not the most skillful way, but when you sort of feel like you're done with it. But I know that sort of like these transitions as well, is that life can be difficult. And the universe is always asking us to let go, to surrender our will, to let life be life through us. And so we never know how it will show up, life. It continues to be a surprise. Any of you noticed that? Yeah. That it's just like, wow, I have this great plan. And God, did I not tell you in my last memo exactly how this was supposed to happen, right? Yes. So practicing these great tools we have of heart math with resiliency and the Be Peace practice that allows us to have a compassionate communication, radical forgiveness that helps us really move through the emotional trauma of life, are very important. Because we have this thing we call the human condition, which is we make stuff up. Yeah. We make stuff up. What we do is a circumstance happens, and then we give meaning to that circumstance. And we think it's pretty logical and that everyone must know that's what that means. And so anyway, it's the mind making up stuff. And so I always say, I'm Denise MSU. I make stuff up, right? As you do. And so part of spiritual community is really lovely when we can call each other on making our stuff up. Really getting it, you know, that asking that really deep question. I know my husband, who knows these practices that I teach, I do the Q process, but also the Be Peace practice. And so we're looking at this time in our life. We're in a transition like you are. I left my husband to be with you. That's how important you are. So he was feeling the anxiety of that and the tension of that, and we get along really well and spend a lot of time together. So we were watching a movie, and it stimulated something in him that created a sense of sadness and aloneness. And he started crying. And he says, wow, I don't know where that came from. So I began the inquiry. And it had to do, you know, it wasn't just sadness that I'd be gone, but it was what he was making that mean. I said, so now you're not, I'm not here, you're alone, you're feeling sad. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm unlovable. Right? So that's where the deep pain came from. It wasn't the actuality of me taking this ministry on. It was a memory that he created, as we all have, in a belief system as a child where his needs were not met. So he's just tapping into that, right? But we don't know that. We're not aware of that. We just think it's this circumstance. And if we're not really awake, we begin to blame that person in front of us for our pain. So he could have said, how dare you leave me? Right? You don't need to take this job, blah, blah, blah. But thank goodness that we're on this path together so we can support each other. And that's what I'm talking about. This is a human journey where we will fall down. We will forget who we are. That we will have feelings that may stimulate something that's uncomfortable for us. And it's just a signpost to what's really going on. It's there to wake us up, to say something I want you to pay attention to. So now he can have that belief system it's not a shadow anymore. Before it was a shadow that lived in the recesses of the body that shows up, that he feels diminished. But now he can say, is that the truth of me? I'm not lovable? No, that is not the truth of me. That's a truth I took on years ago to protect myself. That's what I understood it to mean when someone left, is I was not lovable. So that's how we in transitions know that just this simple thing of your minister shifting can trigger us into past experiences. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Oh, good. So we could be present in a way that's real and authentic. And that everyone's going to go through this differently. We're all on a different path, that one person just could be skipped to my loo, my darling, David's gone, right? That's fine with them. There's just no problem. And then someone else really is struggling to have that relationship severed. So a lot of this practice that we're doing is staying present to what is. Staying present to what is, and not identifying with who we are not, and not identifying with our role. So a role is sort of like minister, candlestick maker, teacher, mother, daughter, right? So we want to begin to detach from who we think we are in this world. So I told a story before about my sister who went through a very, very difficult divorce about 8 or 9 years ago. And all of her life as a growing up child, her vision was to get married and have children. And that was her plan for her life. That was her aspiration. And so when that came, that divorce to her was sort of out of nowhere. It was devastating to her because she identified so much with that role as being a wife and mother. So it took a long time for her to really heal and get through the difficult pain. But through friends and family and myself, that we just carried her, you know, and the beautiful part was that she finally got of who she is, was so much more beautiful and so much more alive without that relationship, that her true self could really shine out, that this relationship was actually stifling her in a huge way that she didn't even know. That she actually had to step out of the situation to feel its oppression. She didn't know it. She couldn't feel that dark veil that was around her. But once she accepted, once she moved through it, she was in heaven. I mean, you know, the look on her face, the light in her eye, her life began to be an expression of pure joy and continues to be. But sometimes it isn't until we step out of those relationships that we're even aware that they may not have been the best thing for us. So our soul is constantly evolving, yes?
Yes.
It's calling forth life situations so that our soul will grow. Now, it's not always comfortable, right? The soul growth is not always comfortable. But it will grow us. And usually, for me, some of the biggest, deepest pain has been the greatest growth.
Yes.
Absolutely. And really letting that go. Many of you heard of the spiritual teacher, Byron Katie? Yeah, she's here in the Bay Area. Yeah, some of you have been to see her. And she's a beautiful teacher of awake person who teaches an inquiry into self about really what's going on. You remember earlier I was asking that question, so what are you making that mean? That's an inquiry question. And she says things like, do you know that to be really true? And usually the answer is yes. Well, well, maybe not perfectly. But anyway, she goes into these really difficult places like prisons and works with violent people who have committed very difficult crimes. So she was working with this group of people, and she asked them to begin by writing down their anger and their resentment and their thoughts about, I'm angry because. So this group got together, and she asked them to read it. And this one man said, I'm angry because my wife set fire to our apartment and my daughter was killed. So that's a pretty big one, right? That's a pretty big one. And most of us could have deep empathy and compassion for this man. So his strategy for managing the pain that he felt was to lash out. So many of us, when we feel emotional pain or mental pain, we don't realize that it's in here, but we think it's out there. And if you're close to me, or if you're the one that stimulated that conversation, then I somehow think it's you, right? That's the enemy image that gets created. So he played that out in a very violent way and ended up in jail. But what he did with Byron Katie was answer a set of inquiry questions to finally get that what he was doing was making up an untruth in his own mind. That his wife intended to somehow kill their daughter and never saw it as an accident. But all he could feel was the pain of that loss. So she was able to get him to see that through forgiveness and through this awakened state, that pain, once she was gone, is no longer there. It's stimulated by your thoughts about that circumstance, right? It's so easy to see it from somebody else's perspective, but in our own, it's not always easy. So coaching is really great, or a minister to help us sort of see how we're behaving is very, very important, or community. Khalil Gibran said, your pain is the breaking of a shell that encloses your understanding. So pain, we could use that to open the heart. We can use life circumstance to open the heart. One Unity minister I met, Paul Hasselbeck, who is an author. Very early on, Larry and I went to ministerial school with him. He shared with me this great line that I use today. So many of us might have said, why is this happening to me, life circumstance? And he would shift it by saying, instead of why, how can I use even this to glorify you, God? So we go from why is this happening to how can I use this life circumstance to be more awake, to use my divinity, to express more of my gifts, even in this. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the spiritual growth, that we are moving from, you know, this life is happening to me as a victim into, you know, life is happening through me into life is happening as me. So it's an evolution of consciousness. Yes? Yeah, there's a waking up that's happening, and we're going to start our journey of awakening next week. And 7 weeks on Sunday, we'll talk about this journey of awakening. And then you'll get in your groups and talk about your experience of awakening through this book, Eye of the Storm, that uses unity principles. And it's a beautiful time of going back to basics, especially when we're sort of in this transitional time. So I want to end with an affirmation, and then we're going to do a ceremony here. So the affirmation is, I am connected to a greater power and presence. Do we have that affirmation on the... Maybe not. Okay, so I'm going to say it again, and then I am connected to... Oh, there it is. Let's say this together. I am connected to a greater power and presence. This is the truth of us. This is the truth of us. So whenever we're feeling the discontent or things are not working, we can realign with this. Let's say this again. I am connected to a greater power and presence. This is not my reality in this world. There is something greater. How can I use even this to glorify you, God? Together, I am connected to a greater power and presence. Beautiful. So now what I'd like to do, I've got a couple people that are going to move our ceremony table into the center. And I'm going to ask you to, row by row, from back to the front, to come up and offer your blessing. This is a community bowl, and the other two services are in there. Their blessing is in there already. And so all I'm going to ask you to do is check your heart about what gift were you given during this last era with Reverend David? What gift were you given? And what gift do you now offer the community? So it's just one word. It could be as simple. So I'll demonstrate. So I receive the gift of acceptance from David, and I offer the gift of a non-anxious presence. And then you sit down. So all of our wonderful, beautiful gifts will all be there in our community bowl. So if we could have some music, and then our ushers will invite the back rows first, and we're going to have two sides. You can see there's two trays. And you can say it out loud or silently. Thank you. So this is from Mario. David. Reverend David gave him hope, and he offers kindness.
Healing love.
And to all of our viewers out there, this one's for you. You get to put in your gift from David and the gift that you offer to the community. So we are all in here. Yes. This is the community bowl in which we all exist.
The youth.
Yes. This is for the youth. What did they receive from David?
A lot.
A big cup.
Congregational love.
Acceptance. Yes. Hope to our beautiful youth. And so, so we take a little, and we know that in every drop of water there is the allness of God. And so in this few drops, the allness of you exists. The gifts that you receive from David and the gifts that you now offer the community. So as I take this, these gifts now live in me. And we will continue passing the torch on and on as the gift that David brought you never dies here, that it lives on in you, just as when loved ones pass, that energy, that gift that he brought to this community continues on in a variety of forms. You are that form, who you have become, your intentions, your commitments, the gifts that you have, you know, moved into. And now we're going to grow from there, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. There's a whole new chapter to be played, yes, in a whole new way. And we get to do that together. And we'll remember, we're moving at the pace of guidance. So we're not rushing. We're not, you know, we got to get to the end. We got to find that next minister. Yes, we have a wonderful selection team in place, very well organized, principled, so we can trust and know that God is in the midst of their doings and our doings and begin to relax into it. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. God is here with us. There's nothing we could do to mess it up. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just sit back and relax. You know, otherwise we could do it the easy way or the hard way, right? It's our choice. So we could remind each other of that. And the divine exhale. So we bless Reverend David on his way, all of the great work that he has done, and all of the ministers that have come before him, that energy and those gifts stay alive here in this community, and we move forward with grace, with dignity, empowerment, and love. So let's pray. Beloved Presence, we do give great thanks for this ministry. We give thanks for Reverend David and all that he has brought here. We now release him from the vibration of this community, his physical vibration, that his love and his heart remain here with us, that could never die away. So we thank you, God, for each one here to say yes to this journey of awakening as we move deeper and deeper into this truth. There is one presence, one power, God the good, omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere present. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. God bless you. Thank you.